thankful for this opportunity, thankful to be here with you all, thankful for everything. It seems like your church has a lot of involvement with missions, and Brother Glenn, thank you for everything that you do, and Brother Demas, who's not here, but I give honor to him, and thank you, Sister Demas, for all the stuff that you all do, and thank you, brother, for having us. It's so good to be here. We are missionaries working in the islands of Puerto Rico, Trinidad and Tobago, predominantly Puerto Rico for the last 10 years, and I'm just thankful that God has allowed me to be a part of what he's doing, and I believe that God has something for each of you to do in his kingdom as well. Probably not go overseas somewhere, but I'm telling you, God has something for you just as much as he has for me. And if he can use someone like me, man, I can hardly stay on track. If it wasn't for my wife, I don't know where I would be. Wife and GPS together have helped me get to where I am today. But so thankful that God has allowed us to minister and work in the islands of Puerto Rico, Trinidad and Tobago. In 2008, me and my wife, we began our missions journey, although mine started a little earlier since I'm a missionary's kid. I grew up in this, and this is just part of life for me. But we went to Trinidad and Tobago, and you can show that next slide, sister. And that's where we ministered for the next few years and where we thought we were going to be missionaries. In fact, we were appointed to be missionaries there, and we still have the appointment of Trinidad and Tobago till today, at least. And it was something that we enjoyed being there, and we still do love the people of Trinidad and Tobago. But after raising the funds to go there and live there full-time as fully appointed missionaries, we ended up going to Puerto Rico because we could not live and work in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, that was a major change in our life because Trinidad is an English-speaking country. It's a place, well, I mean, it used to be only English-speaking. You all know about Venezuela and all the turmoil that's been going on over the years. Venezuela is only 10 miles off the coast of, or I should say Trinidad's 10 miles off the coast of Venezuela. So we have over 300,000 Venezuelans living in Puerto Rico, Trinidad now, and it has caused us to have Spanish as one of the languages now. In fact, we have a Spanish church in Trinidad. I'm so thankful for that. But God moved us to Puerto Rico, and as we moved there, it was not what we really wanted to be, where we wanted to be and what we wanted to do. It was a difficult time, but God is in control, and God knows what he's doing, amen? I firmly believe that. I don't know where you are in your walk with God right now and what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you, if you will trust God, God will lead, God will work, and God will get you where you ought to be, and that's been our experience. And so in 2016-15, we made it to Puerto Rico, and we've been working there ever since. That first year, we were in San Juan, and then we moved down to Ponce, the southern part of the island, and God allowed us to help that southern and western part of the Puerto Rico and begin to put a burden on our hearts for that area. I remember as we were finishing that first term in 2019, we were praying and asking God to help us figure out what we were supposed to do. You know, we had told people for years we're going to Trinidad, and then we never made it there. And I felt like a liar in some ways. I felt sort of like I had told people, and my pastor helped me a lot. He showed me in Scripture where, you know, Paul and Silas, they tried to go somewhere, and the Spirit forbade them, and they tried to go somewhere else, and God didn't allow them. And later on, they were able to make it to some of those areas. I don't know that they made it to all of them. But God does redirect us, amen? And so we'd accepted that, but I was saying, God, I really want to know where I'm supposed to be. I would really like to know where I ought to go. And God began to put on our hearts the town of Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. I remember one day I was praying, and I saw the map of Puerto Rico in my mind as I prayed. And I just felt God show me this, the point on the map where Mayagüez is, which is on that west coast over there where that little center of that dot is. And out of it, I saw these arrows that came from one side of the island and went over to the other side, and then they bounced back. And I felt in my spirit God say, I'm going to do something. There's going to be a harvest. I specifically felt that the name of Jesus, righteousness and holiness would be preached and would be across Puerto Rico, something that is not really there today. I don't know if you've heard about Puerto Rico. You young people probably heard a little bit about the music from Puerto Rico and some of the things. It's not great stuff. It's not righteousness and holiness, and it's not proclaiming, for the most part, the name of Jesus. But I really believe that God showed me that it is going to happen. And he basically, I felt him say, are you willing to go? I didn't hear it, but I felt, are you willing to go? And we ended up going to Mayagüez. And there's been so many different things that happened. We had a man that was a contact that we thought we were going to make, because we didn't have any contacts there except this one guy. He baptized in Jesus' name, and we're like, oh, this is awesome. Let's go talk to him. When I finally was talking to him, he says, well, I need to explain some things to you. And he began to explain this whole thing. And what it came to was he believes he's the Apostle Paul reincarnated. Yeah, now it's not a good thing, in case you don't know. It's not biblical. And he had some other doctrines that were, made that one sound normal. And so we realized, man, this is not going to be the guy that's going to be the inroad into Mayagüez. Not only that, but there was this man that came up to my wife at the mall one day, and he saw how she was dressed and said, oh, I see, are you a Christian? What are you doing in Mayagüez? And as she was talking to him, he was excited that we were coming to start a church until he found out we baptized in Jesus' name. And maybe he'd talked to the other guy. I don't know. That might have explained it. I just thought of that right now. But he began to say, we're going to get you out of here. We started rebuking my wife, basically. And then my wife became ill and has had to deal with some medical stuff. In fact, they have not traveled with me the most of this deputation, this time of fundraising this year, because of that. And it was a difficult time, and we went through so many things. But God is the one that knows what he's doing. And when we really felt like, man, what are we even doing here? 8 months that we'd been there, and yes, I was teaching Bible school and I was helping other churches, but as far as Mayagüez, where we had felt that we're supposed to be, nothing had happened. God began to work. He gave us a building that out of nowhere we found this building. This lady that had been prayed for and was healed, she said, hey, I know a man that has a building he's trying to sell. We didn't have the money to buy it, but within 2 months, God got us the money, and we bought this building, and God began to move, and he's continued to move in Mayagüez. You can show that last slide. We are so thankful for everything God's done over the last 10 years in Puerto Rico, and I'm believing that God has more, that vision that I saw, it's not over yet. It still needs to be accomplished, and we're excited to get back, and we're excited to get back and see what God has in store. We're excited for more people to be baptized, for more people to get the Holy Ghost, for more people to be healed, for the name of Jesus to be proclaimed across Puerto Rico, but specifically in Mayagüez, because I really believe God's going to do something there, and it's going to impact the rest of the island. And so I ask if you could pray with us. I know, you know, from just knowing how the different people working here, you all know about missionaries. You probably pray for missionaries, and you do a lot for missionaries. But I ask if you would put us on the list, that you would pray for us, that you would ask God to help us to get back soon and to be able to do what God has called us to do, because he has something great in store for Puerto Rico. I don't know if my wife wants to. I think my son's a little rambunctious tonight, so I don't think my wife is going to come up. I'm sorry. You can just talk. We do have a booth back there, a little table, I should say. We call it a booth. I don't know. But you can maybe talk to her out there, and she can tell you some good things God's doing. And I'm thankful for my wife. I mentioned it already, but I don't know where I'd be without her. But God has used her so many ways, and so thankful for her. It was hard when we got there because she didn't speak any Spanish, but God is using her, and she sings and plays, and I mean, she plays in Spanish. That's the difficult part. I'm just kidding. Actually, there are, I don't know if she plays in Spanish, because there are some of those beats that are in Spanish, so she's maybe, anyway. But I'm so thankful that God has allowed us to work where we have so far, and I'm telling you, God has something for you as well. You know, when we were working in Mayagüez, you see that little rascal over there, the redheaded boy on that picture. You know, he's right here. They haven't traveled with me a lot, so when I show that picture, I'm trying to explain. You guys can see, you know, that he, anyway, but he was learning how to speak, as you do. And, you know, you have your words, mama, dada, those things. But one of his first words his first real word was Alexa. And we don't know anybody named Alexa except for that little box that sits in the kitchen. We have a sign right next to it that says, Alexa, do the dishes, and it's never worked so far. But one of his other words he began to say was Aguadilla. And that's a town about an hour north of us where we had basically a daughter work. We had some people up there, so there was a building there. It was so messed up. We started rehabilitating it and working on it. I began having a Thursday night Bible study and then a Sunday night service and began doing things up there. So I was always going to Aguadilla. And you know, when you go somewhere, you say you're going there, but when you come home, you talk about home. And so we never would say Mayagüez. We'd say Aguadilla. And I was joking around about this in Illinois, and I told them it's sort of like, you know, like, I don't know if you've heard about the Bears and what's going on with them, and they're moving over to Indiana. And I said, the Indiana Bears and a whole bunch of people, and I said, they, you know, all everyone that loves the Bears still, they can call the new stadium Deserters Field, because there was Soldiers Field. now there's going to be Deserters Field, right? So let's start it, right? I mean, my family's from Indiana, but who cares? I was saying, like, I didn't like it. I wanted him to say Mayagüez. I didn't want him to say Aguadilla. You know, I just got a little annoyed. And so I sat him down one day. Well, I sat down, and, you know, he was standing. And I said, Gavin, can you say Aguadilla? No, I didn't say Aguadilla. Man, that's probably the problem. I said, can you say Mayagüez? And he looked at me and he said, yours Aguez. Because the word, I mean, he's a pretty smart kid. He was just learning to talk and he already knew that the word my was before it. And so you say, you know, and I said, no, repeat after me, Mayagüez. And he said, Dada's Aguez? And the funny thing that it hit me later on, right when we started deputizing, was, and I'm not being territorial. We could have more pastors, more missionaries. If someone else wants to come and start a church in Mayagüez, we need more churches. We need more churches. But for me, for right now, it is Mayagüez. It is my call. It's where God has told us we're supposed to be. And I believe, I truly believe that God has that for you. And it doesn't all mean a city. It doesn't mean a place. But he has something for you to do. He has a call for you and for your life. I really believe that. And I really believe that if you can listen, it doesn't have to be today that you find out everything. But if you keep trusting God, God will lead you to something where you will know this is where I'm supposed to be. And it may only be for a season. It may be only for a day. It may be for just to walk across the road and baptize someone like Ananias that day when he was called to baptize Paul. He didn't know what was going to really happen and how great that was going to be. But I'm telling you, God has something for you. Again, I'm so thankful to be here, and I don't want to take too much more of your time. Your pastor told me to stay here till 9:30 preaching. No, he didn't. He did not. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. but I do want to get in the Word of the Lord for just a moment. If you have your Bible, or if you can look up the screen, that's what a lot of people do, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Again, thank you, Brother Sidon? I don't know how to say it. I even asked someone and they told me and I forgot. Sorry, Sister Demas, I failed. It's so good to be here. Thank you all for everything. Thank you for loving missionaries. Thank you for Move the Mission Offerings Youth. Thank you so much for helping missionaries get vehicles. Thank you to the Ladies Mothers Memorial. And a guy told me the other day, he's like, well, the Mothers Memorial offering might be big, but that's because a lot of the guys are the ones paying the offering. So I don't know if that's true or not. But thank you for everything you all do. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. We have to understand. And I heard someone once say, I was at a church one time, and a pastor said, and I disagree, so I'm sorry if you believe this, but he said, he's a roaring lion, but he ain't got no teeth. And I was thinking to myself, have you been outside? Have you seen the homeless, the addicted, the people full of problems and situations and circumstances? And then it hit me, have you been inside? What I mean, in the church, even with the redeemed, even with those of us that are trying our best, there's problems, there's situations, there's things that come after us, there's disease and there's cancer and all that stuff. There is a roaring lion. He's trying to get us. He's trying to devour. Because of this, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, Paul tells us to put on the armor of God. Now, he says in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. We are not fighting people. It doesn't matter that people might be influenced by principalities and powers and sin and all of that, and they may be bound in it, and they may be pushing it forward in some way, shape, or form. But the thing is they could be redeemed if they hear the gospel, and if they respond to the gospel, they could be changed and transformed. Sin has to be pushed aside. Sin cannot be redeemed. It can be washed away, but not redeemed. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We can't just redeem sinfulness. That's what people are trying to do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Can you say evil day? In Spanish, it says el día malo, which sounds like the bad day. They don't have as many words as we do in English. It's like they have more modifiers that would go to make, but malo means evil, it means bad. Anyone ever had a bad day? I didn't see many hands. I guess, man, y'all are doing well. I need to move up here. Anyone ever had a bad day? Yeah. More than one. Many. We got to get ready for the bad days. We've got to get ready for the drama in our family. We got to get ready for the disease. We got to get ready for the diagnosis. We've got to get ready for the trial. You've got to get ready. I'm telling you, young people, you've got to get ready for the temptation. You may have overcome it today, but I'm telling you, they'll try to get you again tomorrow. You've got to get ready. You've got to put on the armor of God. And so what we need to get ready. Can you say with me, prepárate? Prepárate. That means get ready, prepare yourself, get ready. We've got to get ready. But I'm not here to simply say for the next few moments to get ready for the bad day. We have to do that. It is essential. You will not overcome unless you get ready for what's to come. But you've got to also understand that God is here as well. That God's involved in all of this too. And God has some good things in store. That God has some great things in store. Some of it is for the future, but some of it is to see something good happen today. I'm telling you, someone can be changed. Someone can be transformed. Someone you know can be made whole, be changed. Prepárate. Get ready. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house. I pray that you will just be with us, that you will bless us, that you will just do something mighty, that your will would be done, that your kingdom would come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Prepárate. You know, preparation is an essential aspect of life. If you don't prepare, there's a lot of youth here today, so. And I'm not picking on you because it's just because you're young. But if you live your life without ever preparing anything, the only reason you're still here is because somebody else, and probably a whole bunch of somebody else's, have been preparing things for you. I met this young man one day, and he was very young and about to get married, and I for some reason it stuck in my mind because he said something about that this girl knows how to cook. And I'm like, you know, I wonder if this guy ever will learn how to cook. You know, he lived at home with mama. And she knows how to cook, and he moves in with, he marries his wife and at age 18, I think it was, and she knows how to cook, and he may never learn how to cook. He may never know. He might just assume food is always on the table at dinner time. Because there are some people that I think that assume that. I mean, there's obviously the kids don't know and understand, but that's different than an adult. But preparation. You know, preparation is just, it's essential to life. I don't know how many of y'all, you know, tomorrow we're going to go to some dairy creamery or something. I don't know what it is. Sassy Cow. Y'all been there? How many of y'all, oh, I guess I did something good. man, I should tell people more where I'm going. Where else should I go? Culver's? We have Culver's, and my wife is from Michigan. We base out of Michigan. We've had a lot of Culver's. Not that I'm not against it. We went to the world's largest Culver's, y'all. It's just down the road somewhere. We went, and we were not, it's not that much bigger, y'all. It's like just two Culver's put together. But anyway, how many of y'all wake up every morning and walk out and milk a cow to get your milk? No. You have a jug of milk probably in your fridge or a carton or whatever it is. We are so used to things just having access to stuff that we don't even know where it comes from. The amount of materials that are in a cell phone, the pews that you're sitting on, or the building that we are thankfully inside right now, and we're not, you know, we have air conditioning. I mean, air conditioning, that's a wonderful thing. How many of you would know how to make an air conditioner if you had to? Obviously, probably not many of us. I know you need a compressor and some gas and some tubes and some stuff, but that's about all I know. I might be able to. I mean, I tried. I had a scholarship for computer engineering, and I did not like it. I hated the math, and so I quit and went to Bible school. That sounds really bad. They probably need to teach more math at Bible school. I saw this interview one time of this college kid. They asked her where mangoes come from. I assume they were wanting a country, a region, something. She said the grocery store. Because that's her experience. Where do mangoes come from? They come from, I don't know what your local Piggly Wiggly or whatever it is y'all have. Y'all don't have Piggly Wigglies around here? Because there's one right next to where I'm staying. And I got me a sweatshirt that says Piggly on the front and Wiggly on the back. I really did. I'm telling you, they go. It's a neat thing. They have blue and red and gray and pink. We live in the mango capital of Puerto Rico. There are mangoes everywhere. My wife always, she used to always ask me, who owns that mango tree? And I would tell her, nobody does. It's on the sidewalk. It's all of ours. It's anybody's. But the sad thing is we have so many of them that most of the mangoes just fall to the ground and just are wasted because we get enough. We don't need all of them. And I mean, I remember as a kid, we had a huge mango tree. I mean, mango trees could be taller than this inside here. Like, they're tall, 30, 35 feet maybe, 40 feet. I don't know exactly how tall, but they're huge. And, you know, they fall down, and lots of them survive the fall if there's grass. If it's concrete, obviously it's not good. If it falls on the road and it's a busy area where there's traffic, you got to watch out because, you know, the whole thing about banana peels, I'm telling you, mangoes that are falling, it's worse than banana peels. Your car will skid. It's like ice. And we don't have snow, so we have zero experience of that. In fact, now that I know it, I'm going to start taking people there. I'm like, if you're going to go to the States, you need to go through the mango area more often and practice. Preparation. We don't, I mean, it comes on a ship, it comes on a barge, it comes on a train to a truck to your store, and you don't even realize. But if all these things in life takes so much preparation, if the physical life we live takes so much preparation, how on earth could we ever think we're going to have a successful spiritual life without a little bit of preparation? Without a little bit of putting on the armor of God? Without a little bit of First, 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and going down the list of adding to your life? How would we ever have a successful walk with God if we don't do anything? Now, if you come to church, you're ahead of the curve because you are blessed, because there are some prepared meals for you. Your pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the whatever's going on, the lessons and preaching that we receive are prepared meals from the Word of Lord that you get. But you've got to also eat for yourself. I have preached this a few times before, and I've said this a couple weeks ago, and then I heard a song. I was working out the other day. I'm trying to lose weight, y'all. I really am. It's so hard. It's so easy to gain weight. If gaining weight was like good, man, I'm good at it. The other way, man, I am not. But the song came on. It said, "You can't only eat Sunday." I put on the Christian workout music. I don't know what that means, but you know, it was it's like upbeat music that was Christian. But the thing is, like, you know, you come to church on Wednesday, you come to church on Sunday. If that's the only time, if you know, there's intermittent fasting, right? 16 hours of not eating, 18 hours, or maybe more. You do the monk fast or whatever. I don't know what y'all are doing. But I don't see many people fasting 3 days, eating once, and then fasting for another 3 days and eating once. That doesn't seem like you're not going to survive. Are you reading God's word? Are you digging in to, listen, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Listen, if you're dealing with sin and you're dealing with temptation, you need God's word. If you're dealing with direction and you want to be led in life, you need God's word. If you are dealing with anything, I'm telling you, you need God's word. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to be full of the Spirit. You need these things. These things are essential. You need to put on the armor of God. Sometimes we might mistake it and think, well, you know, David, he went to that battle and he couldn't fit in the armor. The armor didn't fit, so he didn't put on armor. You read the Psalms and you'll see he talks about armor and he talks about things. He did not stay just a guy with only a sling and 5 stones. He learned and he added to himself and he put on armor, and you've got to do the same. Just because you had some victory before doesn't mean you'll have victory again the same way if you don't prepare for the next time. You've got to prepare. You've got to get ready, because there will come something. It will try to get you. There will be a bad day. There will be a report that you don't like. There will be something that happens. There will be drama in your family. It happens, unfortunately. I this one guy told me, he's like, I've been married for, it was like 50 or 60 years, and we never had a fight. I was like, they must not talk. I don't know. That don't seem normal. Now, maybe he's talking about a fist fight, so. I'm getting a lot of epiphanies tonight. You've got to get ready. Preparate. Get ready. But the good news is you're not the only one getting ready. The Bible says in Psalms 23, it says, he prepareth a table for me in the presence of my enemy. God is getting something ready. God is preparing something for you. Listen, we have a roaring lion that is after us, that's trying to devour us. We have principalities and powers and sin and all this stuff that's up against us. We have the gates of hell that are trying to stop us. But I'm telling you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you that Jesus is preparing something for you. He prepareth a table for me in the presence of mine enemy. God is getting something ready. You know, when the teams win championships and conferences and all these things, and they get invited to the White House. I don't know if you've paid attention to what goes on nowadays, but the White House is serving McDonald's for the most part when these people come. And I find that sort of funny, these athletes that are like, you know, trying their best to be healthy and at the top of their game, and they're eating McDonald's at the White House. I'm telling you, listen, and even Culver's, listen, Culver's is good, but God's got something better for you. God's got something great for you. I mean, maybe there probably will be cheese curds, though, on the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm just thinking, you know. Bible says, He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before he breathed life into Adam and Eve, Adam and created Eve, before he made man, he'd already made the decision to come as a man, to redeem us, to save us, to make a way. He was prepared. And I don't know where you are and what you believe as far as creation and all of that. I really don't care. I believe what I believe. Sorry, I'm a little rude. I believe in the Bible, though. I'm not trying to say you're going to hell if you don't believe what I believe, but man, I believe in 6 days he created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. I don't think you have to find a way to justify it or make it make sense. I think you can just believe it, and I do. But and what's amazing to me is seeing that and believing that. That's what I believe. Is what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 is much more impactful. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. This is 2,000 years ago that he said, I go. Not 6 days ago. 2,000 years ago, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything we see, it was made in 6 days. And he's been preparing something for us for 2,000 years. I'm telling you right now, what we have in store for us, if you are in Christ, what God is laying up for us, I'm telling you, it is awesome. It is amazing. It is something that we cannot comprehend. I love, there's so many things about life. I love so many things about what is, you know, I love my family. I love, you know, there's sometimes we were walking around the town and we stopped on the bridge there in Waterloo and I heard the water passing by, and it was a wonderful sound. I was like, hey, let's just close our eyes and listen to this for a moment. There's some just wonderful things in life, but what he has in store is so much better. When we get to the other side, it's going to be so much better. All the good's going to be there and none of the bad. All the great things and the awesome things and everything that is just wonderful and none of the horrible things. What a wonderful thing. I don't know if you appreciate what we have. The hope that we have. Eternity. Being with him forever. So I have a question for you as I come to a close. I don't know if someone wants to come play the piano or whatever. But the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, at the base level, because this question has a variety of meanings, in my opinion, the base level, Book of John chapter 3 tells us, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again, unless you've been born of water and of spirit. We must be born again. We need to go down in the waters of baptism. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need these things. It is essential. It's how we enter in. It's how we are born in the Spirit. But are you ready? Are you still ready? Perhaps you experienced this. Perhaps you have repented of your sins and have been baptized in his name. Perhaps you have been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Perhaps that has all happened in your life. But today, the fruit of your life would show that it is not very evident that God is in you right now. I was teaching in Spanish in Puerto Rico about the essentiality of staying full of the Holy Ghost. And I translated something wrong. I said, tiene que ser relleno del Espíritu Santo. I said, you've got to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's what I thought I said. But the problem is some words, they're called false friends. I don't know if you've ever said that you're embarrassed in Spanish, but embarazada is not the word. That means you're pregnant. Yeah, it sounds like you're embarrassed, but you're really embarrassed when they think you're pregnant. That's really embarrassing. Apostolic man, you don't say that. Apostolic ladies don't say that either. Anyway, the young lady. Okay, let's move on. Relleno. It sounds like refilled. The words, you know, relleno, that seems like it should mean refilled. But if you've ever been to a Mexican restaurant and read the menu and it said chili relleno or avocado relleno, or you might realize it means like stuffed full, like a stuffed avocado, stuffed chili. So I said, you need to be stuffed full of the Holy Ghost. That's what I told them. And they said, Brother Joseph, that's not how you say it. And I said, well, I was wrong. It did not portray what I was trying to say, but I stand by what I said. We need to be stuffed full of the Holy Ghost. What's coming out of you ought to be Holy Ghost. What's coming out of you ought to be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things should be coming out of you. And that's only going to happen if you're full of the Holy Ghost. But I ask the question one more time. Are you ready? Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you? Paul said, be ready. Paul said, be ready to tell somebody of the, look, we just talked about eternity. We just talked about how great it's going to be. We just talked about how awesome it is. And it sounds like y'all think Sassy Cow was really good and all that. And you're like, man, you should go. If you're an ambassador for Culver's or Sassy Cow or whatever it is that you think is great and you think is awesome, how much more should we be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us? You know, the problem is sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes we don't have the boldness to take that risk and talk to that person. And it's hard sometimes. But here's the thing. I believe the answer to all of this, the answer to if you need to get ready, is you need to start, you have someone pray for you. And then we'll baptize you and you'll get the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you need the Holy Ghost again, if you need to be refilled, I'm telling you, let's pray for you. But the same answer for those two is the same answer for our necessity to have an answer. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, as he concludes the armor of God, he tells us that we need to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But it doesn't end there. The thought is continuing. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we get back to the fact that you need the Holy Ghost, first of all. How are you going to pray in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit? It says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. You've got to have faith. Listen, when the bad day comes, when the bad problem comes, when the situation comes, you've got to have faith. When the diagnosis hits and whatever is going on, when it's a bad day, you've got to have faith. But he says, don't just have faith for you. He says, and supplication for all the saints. Now, I was preaching somewhere, and there was Catholics, and I thought of this. I was like, man, not supplication to the saints. It's for the saints. It's for each other, for the believers, for those. Do you understand what I'm saying? We got to pray for each other. You need to pray for your brother and sister. But Paul says in the next verse, and for me. Pray for each other, but he says, could you pray for me? that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul, the apostle, the great missionary, if you're trying to talk about someone that you would think wouldn't have the words or didn't have the boldness, that's not the guy you're thinking of. But Paul is saying, hey, I'm asking, this is my request. And if he's asking for this, I think we need to ask each other to pray for us. Man, you need to ask your brother, can you pray for me that I could be a better witness? Could you pray for me that I would have the words? Could you pray for me that I would have the boldness when it's the right opportunity to say the right thing? Why don't we stand? I'm telling you right now that God is calling somebody. He's calling you to get ready. He's calling you to get ready. You've got to put the armor of God on. Listen, it's not just praying. That's part of it. But you've got to come to church and receive instruction. You've got to listen to the teaching. You've got to internalize it. You've got to get into His Word. You've got to know His Word. You've got to put on the armor of God. You've got to add to yourself. Add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and it goes down the list. You've got to. But as you do these things, you pray and say, God, I don't want to just have all this stuff, and I don't want to just be ready for the bad day in my life. I want to be ready for the good things that you have in store. I want to be ready to be a witness. I want to be ready to be a blessing. I know there's something great that's in store for me. Lord, help me to be ready. Why don't we seek God for a moment here? I don't know if you have someone next to you that you could ask if they could pray for you, that you would have the words, that you would have the boldness, that you would be a witness. But let's take an opportunity, a moment right now, and just ask God, Lord, help me to get ready. Lord, whatever it is that I'm lacking in my life right now, whatever I don't have that I need, help me to add it to my life. Help me to put on this armor. Help me to have that shield of faith for when those darts try to come and take me out. Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be secure in my salvation. Lord, help me to put that helmet on. Help me to put those shoes on. Lord, help me to be ready. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you need, I'm telling you, God is here. He said, I'm a good father. I'll give you the Holy Ghost if you ask. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, if you want to be ready, you got to seek God. But I'm asking you, please get ready. Why don't we seek God? Let's take some time. I'm going to hand this back over to your pastor. But let's just take some time and seek God. If you want to come to this altar, if you want to, wherever you are, but let's just seek Him right now, because He is here and He wants to get you ready.